Amen. That's a good wake you up this tonight. Amen. That's good. Our Lord is real. And tonight I am going to get off the subject of Nehemiah. Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, a message that we preached before. A message I first heard back in 2005. And in 2005 was a monumental year for my family, for us. And the message just really rang true in my life. And so from time to time, we brought this message back out and we preached it. Again, it's borrowed. So some of you will recognize and say, I've heard that before, I think. That's okay. It's all good. Nothing's new under the sun. Familiar story, so I'm not going to take the whole lot of background. We know the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God leading them, fire by night, cloud by day, and they come to the Red Sea. We know that Pharaoh's army is behind them. I do want you to notice a few things, though. Look at verse 1. I'm not going to read this whole thing again, but it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye camp by the sea. First thing I want you to notice is that God put them there. The place which they encamped, that God put them there. It reminds me in the New Testament when Jesus told the disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. He put them in the ship. He told them to get in the ship. And as they went to the other side, a storm came up. You know, absolutely the Lord knew the storm was coming. And yet he put them in the ship. So there's so many things here we're going to point out in real unsophisticated message tonight. Just want to be an encouragement tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Lord, help us to remember just how great and powerful a God you are and that you do care. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So many times we find ourselves in an impossible situation or just simply in a fix. Sometimes we get into a situation because of our own stupidity. Any of that ever happened to you? It's happened to me just a couple of times. More often than not, it's my own fault. I've met the enemy and it's me. Sometimes it's crazy people. You know, we just live in a world where there are crazy people. And whether it's a neighbor, a friend, whatever it may be, a co-worker, sometimes just crazy people. Sometimes it's just mean people. You know, you're in a situation just because somebody has been awful mean to you. There's evil people in this world who would love to see you as a Christian discouraged, love to see you as a Christian fail. And your family fail. And so just sometimes we're in a fix, we're in a situation because of mean people. Sometimes it's because a friend who may have turned on you, or someone who has turned on you. This has never happened to me, I wouldn't know what that is. Sometimes we're in a fix, but it's our own imagination. In fact, a lot of the fixes we get into are just made up of our imagination. They're real. They're not real. If you wait a couple of days, they go away. But yet we worry about them, right? It's amazing how many of those things go away. And many times it takes wisdom just to kind of wait and see and when those situations come. But I want you to know tonight again, I did not come up with this term, but God makes a way where there is no way. That God makes a way. That it's God who told the children of Israel to go forward. To go forward. In Exodus 14, again, we see the children of Israel there encamped before the Red Sea. Before them was a vast amount of water, where historians believe that they crossed. The water would have been over 300 foot deep. It would have been 8 miles approximately across that they would have had to walk across. Realizing there was in between 1 to 3 million Jews. Remember, this was not a small thing for God to bring them across that Red Sea. It would have had to have been, he would have had to part of the waters at least a mile wide. And of course, the Bible says it was dry land. And for them to make it those 7 or 8 miles, it would have to have been a mile wide for them to cross, because it says they crossed during the night, they crossed overnight. And as the sun began to rise, Israel, of course, was followed by the Egyptian army. And as they turned to look and saw God do a great victory and destroy the Egyptian army with the waters that came and fell. Again, you know the story. The first off, we need to understand that when we're in a fix or we're in a bind, that many times it's God who put us there. By the way, it's God who allowed us to be there. And no matter what situation we're in, God put them there. God put the children of Israel in this situation. And God knows exactly where you're at. And there's some kind of New Testament verse that says we ought to give thanks in everything. And so in order for you to overcome, if you would, in order for you to get victory in the situation you're in, you need to get to the place where you can thank God for the place He has put you. By the way, God will know if you're sincere or not. But we need to get to the place that we trust Him so much and that we understand that He cares for us, that He has our best interests in mind, that we can truly thank Him for the situation that we're in. I find that very difficult, very hard in my own life. Very hard. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks. We ought to give thanks in the little things and give thanks in the big things. But God put you there. I don't know what situation you may be in tonight, but God put you there. And He has your best interest in mind. Number two, we should be more concerned about God's glory than our relief. Exodus chapter 14, verse 3 and 4 says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. God was going to receive glory from the situation they were in. God was going to receive glory. So again, this is a statement. Listen to it again. We should be more concerned for God's glory than our relief or our deliverance. It is to pray that God get the glory out of the situation that I'm in. Whatever fix I'm in, whatever test, whatever trial, whatever it may be, that God gets the glory. I remember when we had our first child, Caleb, who's here. He's not a child no more. I remember praying about him before he was born. And we used to pray for him to be born healthy and all those things. I don't necessarily think that's wrong. But primarily, I began to pray that he would bring God glory. Because that is the primary. That is. That God get the glory out of whatever. And so we ought to pray that God get the glory. Whatever situation or fix that you're in, we ought to pray that God gets the glory. Do all to the glory of God, the Bible says. There's so much more there, but remember when the disciples said of the blind man, who sinned? His mother, or did he sin, or his mother sin? And Jesus said, no, neither his mother nor he sinned, but so that I could get the glory. Sometimes we're in a fix, not because of sin we committed or something we've done. Sometimes we're in a fix just so God can get the glory. But I believe God can get the glory in every situation that we've been in. And we ought to do all to the glory of God. Number three, pray fervently. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Whatever fix you may be in, you need to pray fervently. Go to God in prayer. I just think of Nehemiah. I'm so enamored with, over and over again, the book of Nehemiah. It says, and Nehemiah prayed. And I prayed to the God of heaven. I prayed. Whatever situation Nehemiah was in, you could see that he prayed. He prayed. I'll never forget stories told about Wesley. John Wesley, the Methodist preacher who started the Methodist movement, who was a circuit-riding preacher. I mean, he rode a horse all over this nation. I mean, amazing, amazing what he accomplished. And there was a situation, he was preaching a revival meeting, he was staying in the home of a parishioner, and he had a horse that was a little bit wild, and a young man went out to try to catch the horse, couldn't catch the horse. And a young man went out again to try to catch the horse for John. This is John Wesley. I mean, John Wesley. Finally, John Wesley asked the teenage boy, he said, have you prayed about it? The boy said, I haven't prayed about it. Well, you ought to pray about it. And sure enough, him and the boy prayed about it. The boy went out and caught the horse. John Wesley was just trying to make the point. This doesn't matter. Big or little things, we ought to pray fervently. Pray. Pray fervently. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5. Number four, what a wait on the Lord. Look at verse 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Wait on the Lord. Many other scriptures we could turn to. Wait on the Lord. That's a command. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? We kind of think, well, we ought to wait on the Lord. And the psalmist and the Proverbs speak about waiting. In fact, we just covered a psalm that used the word wait there. And wait, what does that mean? It means to trust the Lord. It means to have patience and trust the Lord. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God who is our refuge and strength. We serve a God who is our rock. We serve the God who is our shield. We ought to wait on Him. But nothing takes faith like waiting. We live in the microwave society, don't we? I mean, that's just what we live in. I want the microwave to warm stuff up quickly. I want my computer to come on. I hardly ever use it, but when I do use it, I want to push the button and it come, you know, or move my mouse, sorry. Move the mouse. And it come up. I don't want to have to wait. I punch on something, I want it to come up, not do that little circle thingy. Somebody get me a bigger computer. By the way, just to let you know, the preacher gets the last computer hand-me-down in this entire building. By my own choice, because I rarely use one. And so, but when I do get on it, it's frustrating sometimes because I got a hand-me-down. I think the one I'm using now used to be back there. I hate to see that little thing go round and round. That's the society we live in. None of us want to wait on anything. We live in the popcorn society. I want to put my popcorn in the microwave and get it out and eat it. So we've learned to not be patient. We've learned the opposite. And it's hard, isn't it? It really is. Because we are, our brains are trained that way. We really are. And so we have to constantly remember that we must wait on the Lord. Again, Isaiah 40, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Wait. He's not talking about setting, you know, over here it's necessarily in standing still, though that is part of it. But he's speaking of trusting Him. Trusting Him, standing still and trusting Him, being patient and trusting Him. Understanding that He put them there. He put them there before the Red Sea. He's the one who is to be trusted. God put you there, you should be trusted in. We must trust Him. Number 5, take the next step of faith. If you haven't underlined this in your Bible, you should have, because we preached this scripture a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago to be exact. In verse 15, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel," I love this statement, "that they go forward." Amen. That they go forward. There's many biblical principles we could apply here. But can I tell you, I'm thankful that we are encouraged to go forward. And the devil loves to remind us of our past and loves to remind us of past failures and loves to get us discouraged. But God says, go forward. Amen. Go forward. I'm thankful God forgives and we go forward. No matter what's happened in your life, no matter what you may have done, whatever it may be, God says, go forward. Go forward. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. By the way, it was going to be a very wide path. It's not like they were going to have to say, I wonder if that's where we should go. No, there's an army behind you. Yes, that's where I'm going, where the water parted at. That's where I'm going, dry land. Just go forward. I believe in my own life, it really is about plodding. It is about taking one step at a time. And when you are facing a situation in life that seems impossible, just put one step, one foot in front of another and take another step. Go forward. Go forward. If you fall, get back up. The Lord is there with you. The Lord is there with you. Number 6. By faith, see God's presence. Verse 19. "And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. Can you imagine that? This cloud, this light that they had been following now is behind them. And on the back side of it, it's darkness to the Egyptians. But on the front side of it, it's light for the Israelites. That's a great God, isn't it? God's presence with them. God's manifestation, physical manifestation to Israel. By faith, see God's presence. Remember that God, again, will never fail you. He'll never forsake you. Understand that God stepped in. God stepped in. God stepped in between the armies of the Egyptians and the Israelites. Would you say that God stepped in a powerful way? Absolutely, He did. God stepped in a powerful way. And God will step in your life in a powerful way if you'll trust Him, if you'll put your faith in Him. And though we may waver at times, we may need to ask for more faith. Somebody in the Bible did that one time. God will do that for you. God stepped in a powerful way. David Gibbs said this. He said, God's presence in the trial is far better than our exemption from the trial. I'll never forget, years ago, we had a little girl, and found out about six weeks into it that our girl was not going to live, that she had issues. Miss Linda was a part of that years ago. She had spinal muscular atrophy, a MDA disease. I'll never forget that as my wife and I faced that trial, and as we got through that, and looking back at it, how you could see God's presence. I can't imagine, as the children of Israel faced that wall, watched the sea part, and they could look back at God's presence. That's amazing. They knew God was with them. And no matter what trial, no matter what problem, whatever fix you may be in, God's presence is there. You just need to look. You need to look. By faith, we see God's presence. Can you see Him tonight? Whatever fix you may be in, can you see Him? Trust Him. And then 7, trust God for deliverance. Verse 21 says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters divided. Isn't that amazing? The waters divided. What a unique way which God delivered the children of Israel. He knows what He's doing. He's never late, never early. He's always on time. I like this one. Do you want God to do it His way or your way? I don't know how many times our church has been in a fix. And I thought in my own mind as I prayed, and I said, well, God, You could do it this way, You could do it this way, You could do it this way. And then finally you just kind of go, you know what, Lord, I know I've seen You work in the past, Lord, whatever You do. And it amazes me how many times in the past that when we are in a fix, that it's kind of something out of the ordinary that happens that allows, usually it's a financial issue and how God supplies the need.
Amen.
And sometimes from the most, from someone you would never expect it. It's amazing. God is so good. We'd much rather see God do it His way than my way. The Lord moves, the Bible says, in mysterious ways. I tell you what, the Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord knows what He's doing. We're going to get out early tonight. Y'all ready? Number 8. By faith, see your crisis as a faith builder for the future. Look at verse 30 and 31. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and look what it says, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. It's a faith builder. Every problem that comes into our life, every fix that we get into, every situation that we get into, is a faith builder. And again, one of the, just the simplest illustration is David. David facing the bear, David facing the lion before he faced Goliath. Building his faith. What does that mean? Trust. Building his trust in the Lord. Well, God delivered me from the hand of the lion. God delivered me from the hand of the bear. God will deliver me from this giant. Faith builders. And you know what? God delivered me from this situation in my life years ago, and God's delivered me from this situation a few months ago, and now God will deliver me from this situation. He's the one that put me here. He sees the situation I'm in. I just need to trust Him. I need to be patient and trust Him. I need to wait on the Lord. I need to pray to Him. I need to call upon Him. I need to go forward. Don't let the devil, and I've done this in my own life, and it's a sad commentary on my own life, allowing the devil to get me down and discouraged and whatever. But we need to go forward. Taking one step again, taking another step. And of course, there's no room in Christianity for quit, for defeat. It's go forward. Go forward. By faith, remember God's presence. God's there. You just need to look for Him. And maybe it is about looking behind you. Remembering that God has never failed you yet. He'll never fail you. People will fail us. God never fails us. Trust God for deliverance. And He'll let Him do it His way. I mean, the first thing we do when we get in a situation, we try to figure it out. We need to go to God. We need to go to God. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. And realizing that every test we face, every fix we get ourselves into, is a faith builder. Israel feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant. Their trust factor increased. Their trust factor increased. Tonight, why are you in the fix you're in? Maybe somebody's been evil towards you. Maybe somebody stabbed you in the back. Maybe some crazy person did something. Whatever the case is. Maybe it's sickness tonight. Maybe it's financial. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's a wayward child, whatever it may be in your life, whatever fix you may be in. Remember that God makes a way where there is no way. And God will never let you down. Amen. Are you relying upon the Lord? Because He will make a way where there is no way. Let's all stand. Hymn 162, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the principles found here in Your Word, the example. We do pray, Lord, that if there's someone here tonight who may have allowed the devil to get them discouraged, God, may we again put our trust in You, rely upon You, pray to You. Just, Lord, help us again to put our faith in You. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 160.